Raised Rowdy.
Welcome to the Raised Rowdy Podcast. I'm Nick Tressel.
My name is Kurt Ozon.
And our special guest this week, Miss Ashley Ann. Thanks for being here.
I'm excited.
Yeah, thanks for being here, sis. It's always a fun time when we get to hang. I get to see you a little bit more now because, you know, I'm always hanging around Connor.
Yeah.
And we get blessed enough to have you play our events a good bit.
Yes. It's been so fun. I feel like y'all have known me forever.
We have.
It's been 4 years now almost of me being in town. And y'all were my first writer's round I ever played.
I remember that. Seemed like so short of a time ago, but so long ago.
Yeah, I mean? For sure.
And you're still like trying to figure out how to play guitar then and everything.
Yeah.
It was super cute, honestly.
I was so baby at the time.
How old were you then?
I was 18.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how you're supposed to be when you're 18.
Yeah, crazy. Really thought it was going to happen overnight, and then I realized very quickly that's not the case, and I'm just sticking it out, trying to figure it out.
Hey, that's what everyone here is.
Yeah.
I mean, they call
Welcome
it 10-year
Welcome to the
town.
Music industry.
Yeah. The naiveness of an 18-year-old who just moved to town.
Yeah.
Well, I think Luke started, like, playing guitar when he was, how old you are right now, so...
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. No, I started when I was like 10 or 11, and I still suck, so.
Well, I promise you that you're better at playing guitar than I am.
Way better. Way better, Nick.
We were hanging out at Ohio Stadium with Kurt, and Dustin was like, hey, just hit this on the 8. And I'm like, I don't even know what you mean.
Know what that means.
Yeah, our guitar player was trying to have Nick help him push some of the pedals on his pedal board.
Yeah.
He's giving him, he's like, on beat 4, hit it. And Nick was like, I don't know what, I can't count.
I'm like, I don't know. I just know how to listen good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, that's it. But Matt's had you on the podcast before.
Yes, so that was probably like a year, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And we're here today to talk about the new EP.
Yay.
That at this point has just dropped. It drops this week.
Today's
right?
The 29th.
Yes.
Yeah. This, but
I'm losing track of time.
Yeah. So when everybody's listening to this, it'll already be out in the world. So tell us about, of course we know the record title, but tell us about it.
Yeah. It's called Generational Heartbreak. Mm-hmm. And we kind of... I've always kind of been one to like just write whatever I want to write and then figure out after the fact how it could all kind of wrap onto a project. I've never really been one to write towards a project.
Yeah.
But I think because I'm always writing about my real life experiences, it all seems cohesive just naturally. Mm-hmm. So when we kind of bundled up these songs and we're like, this definitely makes sense together. And I think it was like late last year. It kind of happened pretty quickly. I knew I wanted to do a project around this time. I just didn't know which songs and what the theme was and all that. So we kind of put the songs together first and we were just kind of thinking, me and my manager, Nicole, we were literally sitting there in her apartment thinking through possible titles. And I knew I didn't want it to be like one of the songs. So after just listening through the project and figuring out like what the overbearing theme of the whole project was, we kind of landed on There's a Line in Love Looks Like, which was the second single we dropped off the project back in February. And the line in the second verse is it too soon to say I broke the chain of generational heartbreak? And I think a lot of this project is kind of this concept of like my relationship with relationships. As an adult in my adult life, I think I left my hometown, you know, just like a lot of us do, thinking, oh, it's all in the past. So I've left it in another state. Like none of it will come crawling back. And then I think a year and a half, 2 years in, you know, even in my business relationships and my personal relationships, friendships, family, all of those things, things started to kind of haunt me a little bit and come back and trigger me. And I realized, you know, I was in therapy a lot when I first moved here and just kind of like sorting through all of those childhood traumas and experiences, I think I realized like this won't leave me. And I think that can be really stressful and alarming at first when you realize like no matter where I go, it's like it's inside of me. It's not in a state or in a hometown or in a group of people. It's like, no, you carry that with you. And I think that can be really stressful and overwhelming at first. But then I think once you become aware of it and you kind of learn that that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think everybody preaches like, oh, what's in the past is in the past, and my past doesn't define me, but I think I'm kind of here to say something different. Like, maybe your past does define you, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think as long as we're, like, mature about it and aware of it, it can be a healthy relationship with our past traumas. So this whole project and that line specifically of Love Looks Like, I felt like that just said everything I needed to say. There's songs about, you know, relationships, like with a significant other. There's songs about relationships with my family members. There's songs about friendship. And how weird it is making friends as a girl in her 20s in a town where it's so competitive. So I feel like just the way that I am because of what I've endured just is written all over this project. So Generational Heartbreak definitely felt like the right title for it.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's like when I'm listening to the record, and I mean, again, like I'm twice your age. So I'm hearing, you know, just love. Family, mm-hmm. you know, and the struggles that you see around all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to find friends that feel like family.
Yeah.
And the struggles of that.
For sure.
I mean, I'm sure moving from a town, having the people that you had, you know, I got to meet a few of your friends from back home. You
yeah.
know? Like you have those people and that feels like that's going to be your people forever. But mm-hmm. in my life, I've definitely seen groups of people who I love
mm-hmm.
and that I thought I'd be friends with forever, that just it doesn't end up being that way.
Yeah.
Not because they're bad people or I'm a bad person. Yeah. It's just life evolves.
Exactly.
You know?
For sure.
So it's I think it's constantly finding that, and you kinda hear some of that like first beacon of like, oh man, I want to find my people.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's a relationship.
Yeah.
Whether that is in your career, and then of course like in the friendship
for
one,
sure.
When you come out and just talk about that. Yeah. That is an interesting thing, too, that, like, in your song you talk about, you know, how hard it is to try to figure out who your friends are and who you can really rely on and trust.
Yeah.
You know? In the industry, it is weird because everyone is, you know, like, trying to do their own thing and
yeah.
have their own successes. But I think the songwriting community is, like, one of the things that I feel like really helps with that because it's, like,
for sure.
If you're writing with two of your friends, they want that song, whether you release it or they release yeah. it, to be successful.
For sure. Know? I definitely think I've found like such an amazing clan of people in the songwriter world. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, people that don't do music at all, like mm-hmm. having some of those friends. But then it is weird kind of what you said. You think you're going to be friends forever. And then I'm realizing a lot of them are moving, you know, to other mm-hmm. cities. And it's like, oh, my gosh, when am I going to see you again? It's just like a weird town. You know, people are coming and going constantly. You're meeting new people. But I definitely have found, I think it's really important for me, especially as like a female artist, to have female artist friends mm-hmm. where it's genuine, which can be really hard because there is a lot, you know, we're having to watch our backs a little bit. There is that line that you can't cross where it's like, you know, we are kind of competing with each other in a sense because there's only really room for a few of us at a time. But I think that I have found, you know, female artists, and I think it's taken years. I think there's fruit in just being here, period. And I think I've really seen that kind of come to light in the last few months, especially knowing people for, you know, multiple years and kind of realizing about each other. Okay, like, we're not out to get each other's necks. We genuinely support each other. We're not going anywhere. We don't like want anything out of each other. This is just like plain and simple. And it's like a sisterhood. And I think that that's so important because the artist career is so unique, you know, and its struggles. And I think that only other artists can really relate sometimes to certain things. So I feel like it's been super therapeutic for me to have those people to talk to when I'm like experiencing something really confusing. Even when I'm experiencing a lot of no's, like I know who my first calls are, and it's like, it's other female artists who I've known for years and who I've built such a relationship with.
Yeah.
So
your first friends that you phone.
My first friends that I phone. Yeah, no, literally. Who am I going to phone?
Yeah. I think it takes a certain amount of confidence also in your own artistry and your writing to sort of surround yourself with other people that are vying for the same spots in the industry for you. And I think that having that ability, which doesn't come easy and it doesn't come quick, like to be like, I'm cool with where I am. And if they're cool with where they're at, that makes it easy for you to collaborate on stuff or
for sure.
like, confide in each other.
For sure.
And at first it's sort of like, well, maybe she doesn't like me, or he doesn't like me, or whatever. But it's kind of like, you know, at the end of the day, we're all musicians. We're all trying to make music and just have fun and pay our bills with this crazy industry that we're in.
For sure. And I've definitely seen that, like, even in my own relationship with Connor, and Connor kind of doing the artist thing now. It's like, there's definitely been areas where, or seasons where, one person isn't experiencing as many wins as the other person, and you're like, how do we navigate this? It's really hard to kind of like come together and be like genuinely supportive of each other when one is feeling a certain way, and it kind of ebbs and flows. But I do think that having confidence in what you're doing, like what you just said, is crucial, and knowing kind of your path and not letting anybody else's path like negate that in any way, or turn you another way, which is really easier said than done. But I think I've kind of gotten a grip on that a little bit.
Yeah. It I mean, that's going to take time, just like everything does. Yeah. You know? And I think, like, one of the things, and we've chatted about this as we've been friends and, you know, talked, as people find out their brand and like their lane, once everybody finds their lane, then it's easier.
For sure.
You know, when everybody's trying to like kind of travel down the same road and figure out their exact path.
Yeah.
That's when it feels like it's the toughest.
For sure.
Once everybody kind of finds their own lane and they're like, this is me and this is what I'm doing, then it feels like it becomes a little easier.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is easier said than done on that side of it, too.
Yeah.
But I think you've done a great job, specifically in the release of these last couple songs, and, like, really trying to figure out, like, not just who you are as a person, but who the brand of Ashley Ann is.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Like, what you guys are putting out, like, looking at graphics for album art. And honestly, like your stage wear that you wear when you're on stage, you know, you can see consistency in it.
Yeah.
And I think specifically for me, and specifically for female artists, like all the greats, you see stuff like that.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah. I think I got to a point where, like, I think we all moved to town and almost kind of morph into what Nashville wants out of us a little bit. And I'm not saying that I like did that because I felt like I needed to. It just kind of happens. And then you look back and you're like, oh, I was definitely like trying to, you know, be Nashville, female artist, whatever, country, all that stuff. And I think it took me probably 2 years. I think it was after 2 years of living here, I went home to Virginia Beach. And I remember I filled my car with my entire closet and all of my things, and like completely moved out of my hometown. And I remember like hanging up all my clothes in my closet in Nashville. And I was just like, nobody here is really wearing like midi skirts. Nobody's walking around barefoot. Nobody's, you know, wearing all this stuff that we all grew up wearing in beach towns. And I was like, maybe beach town, I always thought, wasn't country enough, because I'm by no means like a country gal, but I also, you know, grew up only listening to country music, so it's definitely like a part of my upbringing. But I don't think, you know, beach town life and country life are so different. And I think it got to a point where I was like, but that makes me different, you know, and that maybe that's something to embrace. And I think the more I've embraced it, the more I have found people, you know, hopping on the train and being like, this is really cool what you're doing. And all the graphics and all the outfits is just everything that, you know, I've always worn as a person and kind of my style as a person. So I think it's just like incorporating that further into the artistry rather than it kind of being two separate things, I think.
I think that's perfect and such a great way to think about it. And honestly, great advice for everyone that is kind of trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Is like, if you are authentically yourself, then no one else is going to be able to be you, because if they are, they're going to be a fake version of you.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be themselves.
For sure.
So I think that's an important part, and everybody figures that stuff out different times.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, you're going to change who yourself is as you go through this
for
life.
Sure.
Right. But the thing that won't ever change is where you came from.
Yes, absolutely. And I know that sounds so cheesy, but I always tell people like who are kind of trying to figure out their artistry, I'm like, just go back to where you came from. And like, even if it's like spending a little bit of time in your hometown or whatever it is, and just kind of coming back to that feeling that you have as a kid running around in your hometown, or how you grew up and the people that kind of influenced you growing up, it's like, go back to that. because you can move to Nashville and become so obsessed with like what Nashville's doing, and and oh, this is working for this person, let me try that. No, don't try that. Like, keep doing your own thing. I forget who said it. Somebody, I think a lot of people have explained it this way, but people have always said like it's kind of like a roller coaster as far as what's working in Nashville. It kind of is just always going like this. If you just keep going like this, like at some point that curve is gonna hit. I feel like you see that with Lainey Wilson. I just watched her documentary yesterday and I have like this newfound respect for her. I like honestly don't really listen to a lot of her music, but her as an artist and as a person just seems like such an admirable human being. And I was thinking a lot about that watching that documentary. It's like she just kind of kept going with what she was doing and it wasn't working for so long. And then all of a sudden it was what worked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think the thing with Lainey too, that we got to interview her when her first or her second song was at radio right before it went number one though.
Dang.
And the hard work. Yeah. Right? Like that's what we got from that. At least that's what I got from that interview.
Yeah.
Was like she just didn't stop, didn't quit, wanted nothing else but this to happen and put in the work.
Yeah.
Like when we were talking to her, she was like, yeah, I've been working 2/3 of my day or something was on TikToks. You know, like that's when TikTok
she was like, I spend 20 hours a week making TikToks.
Yeah.
So it's like that's the level of dedication she had when she already had a record deal.
Yeah.
Already had a song at country radio.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what it takes. Yeah. It takes you, like, I'm sure she hated doing that or at least didn't love it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure loves playing on stage significantly more.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what it took for her to go from a female artist that was on country radio to being Lainey Wilson.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
It's an interesting part, but that's like one of the things I'll tell you, like that you see in Lainey and you see in Ella.
Yeah.
Is that drive.
Yeah, like, for sure.
The drive that Ella has to be Ella Langley. She knows who she is, but like the drive she had even when she was younger.
Yeah.
To push towards being that thing was always there. You could see that.
Yeah.
And it's that fire. And like, you're always going to question things and figure it out. And I remember, you know, talking to her and she was like, I don't know. She didn't have music out at the time. She said, I don't know what I want to say yet. So I haven't put anything out.
Yeah.
You know, so she was figuring that out too. Like everybody does, but it's the drive and the want and like then getting strategic with it eventually.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
Well, let's talk about the EP. So, yeah. We were listening to it on the way over here cause we got the pre-release of the early listen. And I mean, I think Paloma sounds like a smash cause that's one of your guys' focus tracks that you released before.
Yeah.
Such an interesting and fun story too. And then I know a little bit more of like the post and after, like when you got to hang with Lacey. So why don't you tell us about that song?
Yeah. So I think it was over a year ago now, but I was at this birthday dinner for one of my girlfriends, Nicole Croteau, and she had like her birthday dinner at this Mexican place in Cool Springs area. And I like had been such a fan of Lacey's music, but I didn't know her as a person. And we all were at this birthday dinner and I had just turned 21. So this must have been like right after January. And we were all sitting around this big table. There was a huge group of these girls. I didn't know more than half of them. I was really just there for Nicole, obviously. But everybody kind of went around the table and was like, Ashley, try my drink, try my drink, try my drink. Like, we need to figure out what you like and what cocktails you like. Because, you know, at that point, all you really dabbled with was like a vodka crayon if you got into the bar with your fake ID or, you know, Bush Tito's lights. Or Pink Whitney here and there. The gross stuff. So yeah. I was like, I need to figure out like my mature taste for alcohol. What do I like? So everybody's kind of letting me sip their drinks. And Lacey, and I haven't told this part of the story a lot, but it's really funny. So I'll tell it. When we were going around taking our orders, like the waitress, just to make it easy because it was a big group, she was like, give me everything. Give me your drink and your entree in one, you know, one take, whatever. So she goes around and she gets to it. And everybody just says, you know, their entree and a drink. And it gets to Lacey and she goes, can I get, and she orders her entree and then she goes, and then can I get a Paloma? And then can I get a shot of tequila? And then can I get an order of the churros? And I was like, I like this girl. This is my type of girl right here. And luckily we were sitting right next to each other by the grace of God. And we got to talking and just really hit it off. And she was like, here, take a sip of my Paloma. And I took a sip of it. And I've had Palomas since this Paloma. And I don't mean to crap on this restaurant wherever we were, but it was just like so bitter and so grapefruity. And I was like, ugh. I was like, how do you drink this? How do you like this? And I just remember thinking to myself, you know, I wrote down on my phone like immediately when I was at the table, like Paloma as a title, because I was like, that was my first time drinking a Paloma. And like, oh, to be the mature late 20s, seasoned in the industry, you know, woman walking in with the mini skirt. Everyone thinks she's gorgeous. Oh, to be the girl who could like, you know, take the taste of a Paloma and enjoy it. Like, I just thought that was like hot. So I was like, okay, I'm going to like write a song about that later. So I ended up writing it with Kevin Monahan and Jason Early. We did it a few weeks later. And it was actually kind of crazy because Lacey and I had, you know, kept in touch on social media and everything, but I hadn't seen her again. And then I saw her at this, Kendra Scott did her Yellow Rose event where she did the opening and invited all the artists and influencers and stuff. And I saw Lacey and I was like, girl, you're not going to believe this. I wrote this song after our little encounter over the Paloma, and she was like, oh my gosh, she was like, my head is so big right now. And she listened to it on the way home, and she did like a 20 minute drive home, and she was like, I literally listened to it on loop. She was obsessed. So then when the song came out, we went to Bar Taco and got Palomas, and then I took her to Skinny Dennis. It was her first time. It was so funny because at Bar Taco, the waitress, like, we ordered the Palomas and she puts them on the table, we're like, thank you so much. And Lacey's like, we're celebrating her release. It's called Paloma. And the waitress was like, no, it's the fact that I've been waiting for that song to drop. And we were like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. And then we went to Skinny Dennis and we walked in and, you know, they've got the house band or whatever. And she's like, holy shit, that's my steel player. So then we're like dancing. We're the only ones in the bar pretty much. And it was just such a fun night. We drank Palomas the entire night. And yeah, it was just really fun. And that song is just, I mean, I've had a lot of people tell me like, that's the one, that's the song. So yep. I've literally been teasing it for 2 months and I'm going to keep going until something happens because I've never gotten so much affirmation from a song. And I've really never loved a song so much. Like, I think a lot, you know, of 3 years of releasing music, after sending all the mixes back, after writing the song, listening to the demo over and over again, you tend to be tired of it by the time it comes out. And I will like die on the hill of like this entire project. I'm still not tired of any of these songs. And that's the first time that I can kind of confidently say that. So that's how I feel like in my heart and soul that something cool is going to happen with this project. But I definitely am just like so proud of all of it. Not tired of any of it, no matter how many times I listen to that damn song, Paloma, how many times I've been teasing it. And yeah, we're just kind of like trying to keep pushing. Like the EP literally comes out this week, but last week we went to 30A for the weekend and just shot content for Paloma. And I'm like, I'm just going to keep running with this song. I don't care how annoying it gets. I mean, I've had so many people, crazy people, reach out telling me they love the song. Yeah. So I'm just going to keep riding that wave.
Didn't Dasha put out like 80 videos before like Austin took off or something?
Yeah, you hear statistics like that. I've heard the Alex Warren one with Ordinary. It was like 184 or something like that.
Yeah.
Times that he posted the song before it kind of took off.
Well, that's the thing too. Like that people, you're in your head about it. Posting it.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you think about the way that videos get out to the followers now, it's not even to followers. They're trying to feed it to new people.
Exactly.
So the more you put it out there, the more new people are going to get to see it. Other people can fall in love with it. Other people can fall in love with Ashley.
Absolutely. And I'm like, if I lose a few followers because I'm posting the same song over and over again, whatever. Yeah. As long as I'm gaining the whatever it is, you know. And I think that it's just like one of those songs that I believe in so heavy that I'm like, I don't care.
Was that the song that Luke commented on?
No, Luke commented on the video of me. I posted this video. My lease was about to be up. It was like 2 weeks ago. And it was actually the night Paloma came out. And I was like, okay, in my business strategic brain, like, yes, I should be posting Paloma right now. But I was like, that's not on my heart. I just got passed by a record label here in town that I was really excited about. And I just broke down. And I don't cry ever. I don't break down ever. Like, I'm pretty strong with that kind of stuff. I think the no hurt so much because it felt like it was about to happen. And, you know, the project and me moving, like, out of my lease. Like, it was just so much on the line. A lot of risk that I was taking with this whole project. financially, emotionally, all the things. So I think I was just really like personally let down, and I sat there and I just started writing this song, and it's called People Are Dying. And I just started writing, you know, this is all the stuff that's going wrong. My lease is up. I'm so broke. I don't have a relationship with my mom. All this ramble, this, that. Mm. But the tag is, but there's people dying and it could always be worse type of thing. So I posted that on TikTok, and I remember it was Connor who was like, post it on Instagram. Like, it's so good. Just post it. Like, that song is so good. I don't care if it's Paloma release night. Like, and it was so funny because that night he came in like around the corner of my old apartment, and he walked in the door and he's like, the girl with the Paloma. And he's got like a bouquet of flowers, a card that says wow, happy release night. He's got this thing of cookie dough.
Taking notes right now.
No, literally. He's like, he's like ready to celebrate. He turns the corner and I'm just a wreck because I'd just gotten this news like the day of. And so he was like, what's wrong? And I was like, you know, we got a no from that label. And he goes, that's it? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, but come on, Paloma's coming out and you've got this project. Y'all know Connor. He's just like, whatever. And I think that that's really good for me, you know, personally, to have that kind of person just balance me out. But yeah, so that song, People Are Dying, I wrote it just literally probably in 5 minutes and just posted it within that 5 minutes. It was just like, whatever. And it ended up doing really well on TikTok and Instagram. And I've had a lot of really cool artists comment on it, reach out, message me, a lot of really positive encouragement. And yeah, Luke commented and said, I want to get this right. Maybe we got to pull up the comment. He said, my last $200 I had to my name was spent on mastering Hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, keep going, kid. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try. I know, literally. But there's people dying. Like, it could be worse. I've been, you know, a couch surfer in my past life. So I'm just like, it's not the end of the world if I got to, you know, figure it out these next few months with these no's that I'm being handed. But at the same time, I've never had so many people, you know, come up to me or text me or DM me asking for drinks, asking for a coffee, asking for a hang. I've never had so many people reach out in my career so far, telling me, you know, what you're doing is working and it's about to work and you're crushing it. So I would just like to be transparent, you know, especially for the other artists out there, where it's like sometimes at the times where you feel like you're at your lowest is when everybody else is looking at you like, oh, she's about to, you know, bust through the doors. And I think it's like always darkest before dawn. So just been really trying to like pour into my faith a lot and make sure my head's on right, not get so caught up in all of it. But it's definitely hard.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if it was easy then everyone would do it and everyone would have $1 million.
This ain't no
for
hobby.
I mean, this town more than anywhere I've lived, which is only really Pittsburgh in my hometown, is so much of a roller coaster.
Yeah,
it's ups and it's downs.
Yeah.
And it's you being able to take the downswing and move it to the upswing as fast as possible.
For sure.
And just keeping your head about you when you're doing it.
For sure.
You know?
I also think, like, if I could tell any younger artist any piece of advice, I think, like, one thing that's really helped me is it can be really, really isolating when you get in the mindset of, like, oh, it's because I'm pursuing music is why this is so hard. Oh, if I just did something else, it would be so easy. But I think what I've tried to change my perspective on is like, and not to be blunt, but like, if you don't come from wealthy parents, it's gonna be hard no matter what you do.
That's
you're
life.
Gonna have to start from ground zero. Amen. And go yeah. up. So Amen. I think what I've kind of changed my perspective to lately is like, this is my purpose and this is what I believe God put on my heart to do, and I believe that I'm made for this. No matter what caliber or level I get to or whatever, is not up to me. And I think that I'm just going to keep doing it. And until, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm ready to hit the grave. Like, I'm going to just do this my whole life. This is what I want to do. This is what I feel like I was made to do. So I try to get out of my head, because it can be really isolating, where it's like, oh, if I was just a songwriter, maybe it would be easier. Oh, if I was just a salesperson, it would just be easier. But I think I'm like, no matter what career path I were to choose in my life as Ashley and Ann, it was bound to be really hard. And I think that was just kind of whatever we want to say, dealt those cards, mm-hmm. or, and, but I think that there's also fruit in that, and there's also something so powerful in people who come from the ground up and just like work their butts off. So I'm just gonna like try to keep paving that way for, you know, younger folks and like people who are in music and not in music. But it's like, we can get, it can feel so isolating sometimes, where it's like, oh, it's just music that is this way, but it's not.
Yeah, at all. No. I mean, think about starting any kind of business.
Yeah,
as an artist, you're starting a business.
Yeah.
If you have no capital to start your business, yeah. you have to do it all yourself.
Exactly.
That's the same thing.
Might as well do something you absolutely love.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing that I think is consistent about artists, is like the majority of artists that make it can't imagine doing anything else.
Yeah.
So they're not going to.
Well.
You know?
Literally the only thing else I could imagine doing is like swimming in the ocean.
Well, you can not do that.
Professionally. Hard to make money. Hard to make money just going to the beach and drinking Palomas and splashing
yeah,
around.
Yeah, yeah, for
You'd
sure.
have to have like a good rental business for jet skis or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally.
No, but I mean, I think that's not just struggle of artists. I think that's struggle of figuring out yourself.
For sure.
You know, and I think yeah. in, when I'm listening to the project, that's what I hear. Mm-hmm. You know, it's figuring out who you are, figuring out the people that you want to be in your life, figuring out that everybody has this
yes.
generational heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like everyone has this like trauma in
yeah.
their life.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
I always say, like, if you knew the deepest, darkest secrets of everyone's family, you would be like, oh no, maybe except Kurt's, but but you know what I'm saying?
I wasn't like, gonna say anything, but yeah.
it's like that. It's that
yeah.
there's stuff that are everybody has
for
in their
sure.
closet, you
for
know.
For sure.
But I think that's one of the things that your EP does like a good job of, is expressing that.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, other people that are in your situation in life, you know, whether it's trying to be a singer songwriter or it's trying to figure out what you want to do after college.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, I got this degree or didn't, and mm-hmm. I'm a barista. Like, where yeah. do I go from here? You know what I mean?
My mom always said I was really lucky because, you know, from an early age, I knew what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like when I was a little kid, I wanted to be an astronaut. But then after that, I started playing guitar, and I was like, you know, everyone's like in high school, you're like, what school are you going to go to? Like, I'm like, I'm going to play guitar. I'm going to go to Berkeley. My parents are like, what happens if that doesn't work out? I'm like, it will.
Yeah.
No plan B.
It will. For sure. I always say no plan A, no plan B. I'm just here.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the other songs on the record that, or the EP, I guess, that you, you love and you're yeah. excited for people to hear.
Yeah. I mean, the ones that have already come out have definitely, you know, already had kind of their own moments, but mm-hmm. I think packaged onto the whole project, it'll kind of be a different moment, I'm hoping. But I mean, Happy Birthday and Love Looks Like were the first two. I love Love Looks Like. I think the sentiment and the message in that song is so powerful, important, and not talked about enough at all. But I was like scrolling through Instagram and I saw the statistic that said, you know, 60% of daughters of divorce will go on to be divorced and 40% of sons of divorce will go on to be divorced. And I think that is kind of, that song is kind of where this whole project stemmed from, was just like breaking statistics and, you know, not being like our parents and all that. So that song is so important to me because I think that I do have a massive fear of marriage and, you know, making that commitment to somebody just because of what I've endured as a kid. And I know so many people get divorced and it's almost talked about so lightly now because it's so common, but that does not change like how hard it really, really is. And that's only like a sliver of what I've experienced as a kid. But like, that was the beginning of all of it. That was the beginning of the kind of the mess, you know, of my childhood. And there were so many beautiful things and amazing things as well. But I think that the hardships that I've had to go through all started with, you know, my parents getting divorced and everything just kind of spiraled from that. So I think that not being, you know, tied to our past, and but also understanding like that's okay that you feel that way about your future and you have doubts and questions and fears because of what you've experienced, that somebody else might not have those fears, but like you said, everybody has their own thing. So I think that song has really helped a lot of people who are products of divorce and, you know, who are falling in love or who are kind of dating or whatever, you know, in those beginning stages of a relationship where you're like, I really love this person. And this is kind of the first time I've ever experienced like real love, you know, in that way. It's really a weird feeling. It's bittersweet because it's amazing because you're in love, but it's also really scary and really hard because, you know, of what you think in your head, maybe in your low points, what might happen after that. So I think that that song's such an important song, but it's also just like, it feels like a warm hug, which is what I always want my music to feel like. And then Happy Birthday, you know, that song, I wrote the chorus to that song on August 27th of last year, which is my mom's birthday. And I, you know, I think that relationship is really, really difficult to navigate. And I haven't spoken to her in probably 4 or 5 years now. But I remember sitting there thinking, you know, gosh, like every year her birthday rolls around and that's unavoidable. Every year it will happen for the rest of my life and that's unavoidable. And every year on that day, like I will think of her and I will feel a lot of guilt for not wishing her a happy birthday. But then I will also kind of like heal and go through this like process of grief and just like it feels like you're reliving it all over again on their birthday. And I just started to think about how universal that feeling is with an ex, with a family member, with a best friend that isn't in your life anymore, like there with people who have passed even. It's like there's such grief sometimes on birthdays. I really struggle on my birthday. I know my sister does as well. We have kind of, you know, bonded over that. It's like every birthday we always cry on our birthday. It's like the one day of the year that we just like lose it. And it's because you're just processing. It's like it's a moment of reflection over yourself if it's your birthday or over a relationship if it's somebody else's. And I just started writing that chorus, and it's kind of funny because you look back at the voice memo and it was like this super slow, sad song. Like, I don't send you a text because we cut ties. And it's just really, really emotional and sad and slow. And I brought it into the room like the next day with Ryan Cohn and Eli Winders, who are two of my best friends. And I was just like, yeah, this really sucks. And this is what I experienced yesterday. And I feel like this is a feeling that a lot of people... Oh, wait, no. Happy Birthday was... Love Looks Like was Ryan and Eli. Happy Birthday was Avery Bilski and Kevin Monahan, two of my other best friends. So I knew that I had to bring these all these songs to just people I was really close with because it's very personal and vulnerable. But that song specifically is pretty hard for me personally. But I also think it's kind of cool to, you know, I think... If I were to just lay everything out on the table and hand it to the audience on a silver platter, I don't think there's much fun in that. So in all honesty, like, I think playing the game sometimes of it being like an Easter egg and it kind of being a mystery and kind of keeping that just with, you know, with some songs that will be completely honest, like Couch Surfing, I hand it to you. Like, this is what I experienced, point blank, period. But then with Happy Birthday, a lot of people think it's about an ex. So I feel like there's something kind of cool about that. I think about like a Taylor Swift or somebody of that caliber who has such loyal fans. And I remember like my older sister is like such a Swiftie, which says a lot about her. I know, but she was listening to, we were driving in my hometown. This was probably like a year ago. And I think this is when songwriting changed for me completely with this whole project is when I started rolling out, you know, writing these songs. But we were listening to the Folklore album, and my older sister had Last Great American Dynasty playing on her Jeep stereo. And we're driving down the beach, and she's like, so this is the part where she talks about the dog that she dyed key lime green. Yeah, that was the girl that lived at her old house, like her house in Rhode Island or whatever. She's like so passionate. I'm like, I can't even listen to the song because you're like talking so much about the true meaning behind the story, what it means to Taylor Swift, like the real why she wrote it, yada, yada. And I was sitting there thinking, like, that's why she likes the song, like my sister. It's like, not because, you know, it's just a good groove or whatever. It's because she's dissecting every single lyric and knows what that means to Taylor Swift and why Taylor Swift wrote it. So I think I've tried to do that with this project. And as I started getting into writers' rooms, I was like, I want this to be so specific and so honest. And putting the real date of my mom's birthday in there. That was a hard thing to do, you know? She's probably heard that song and probably has listened to it. If not, she's going to see this podcast. And, you know, so I feel like I've just been, you know, kind of guarded about it in some senses. But also when it came to this project, I was like, I just want to put it all out there, but also have those moments. You know, love looks like so honest, and there it is right there for you. But happy birthday. It's like you would have to be a real loyal fan and watch stuff like this or listen to other interviews or meet me at a merch table and, you know, ask me questions about it. And as that starts to grow and build, I think that that's what my fans and my goal is, that they feel closer to me because of it. And they can kind of do what my sister did in the car that day with Taylor Swift, where it's like, oh, happy birthday. That was actually written about this person. And this is what she experienced. And oh my gosh, I feel closer to her because I know that information. And none of y'all know this information, but I'm telling you now. And now these people might feel closer to me. I always want to feel like a human being. I always want to feel like I'm touchable. I always want to feel like, you know, like a real person up there. I know it can look so sparkly and shiny. And I know that there's going to be a day where I'm going to have to kind of create a boundary with fans and what I carry of their weight and what I let in. But for right now, I mean, I really think I was made for carrying that right now in my life. And at this stage of my career, obviously, if it were ever to get bigger, I might have to, you know, rethink that a little bit. But for right now, I'm very comfortable and happy with, you know, carrying a lot of my fans' weight and like helping them through situations that they're experiencing. And that's just like a really important part of me and who I am and at my heart and as a sister and as a big sister and a little sister. And yeah, so I feel like this whole project is just like very honest. And those two songs that we released in the beginning, I think I wanted to come out with a bang. So those are definitely super special. I know that was like a long answer to tell us about beautiful. These songs.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you talk about the fans and getting to like, you know, touch them and feel that. But you've had some really cool opportunities on the road recently too. Why don't we talk about that a little bit as well?
So, yeah.
I mean, Maddox and Avery and Max. Yeah. Just like, I know we've chatted about this. I think it was one night at Red Dorm. Like, think about that and other people that are in your same age bracket in town, and like how much of a blessing
for sure
that live show and like getting for in front of those audiences is.
Yeah, I mean, even me and Nicole were talking about it on the way here. Like, we were on the phone with Craig, my other manager, and Nicole was like, nobody's gonna be able to say Ashley didn't work hard for this, you know, in a few years when this starts to do its thing. She was like, I've been, you know, driving my own 20-year-old Toyota to the, you know, 8 hours to a show, staying 3 hours after the show and driving my ass home through the night, like solo acoustic shows and whatnot. The Mac shows were full bands, so it was really fun. But the Avriana shows, I think, have been the most I don't want to say like the wrong word. I think I have seen the most of my fans in those audiences. Yeah. Than any other headliner. So that's been really, really special to see people who are like, I saw you open for Maddox last year. Or I saw you open for Avery 2 years ago. Or, oh my gosh, I've followed you since this. And it's honestly been really like good for the research, honestly. Like people just telling me, you know, where they found me, where they maybe lost me, and where they have found me again. It's like, that's been really cool to see. So the Avery shows, I mean, I just love her. She's definitely like that female artist sister for me. Like when I'm going through something like those nose, I mean, she is like my first call and I will just crash out, but she's just so helpful. And we're the same age, and I think that we both kind of, you know, you in the beginning, it's really hard to know somebody's true colors. It's kind of what I was talking about earlier. It's like we've known each other for 2-3 years now. And I think that it's taken that amount of time for us to really understand, like, I'm not trying to get anything out of you. You're not trying to get anything out of me. But also Avery is somebody who is like so supportive of me and genuinely will go scream my name from the rooftops. And I will do that all day for her. But like even stuff as funny as like we're in the green room and we're sharing a green room at these shows because, you know, per her request, like we have so much fun together and it just feels like girls hanging out. And we were in the green room one night and I was kind of explaining like my financial situation, and she's like, girl, you got to look into like brand deals. Like, how can we get you a brand deal? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I've, you know, I cold email people all the time. I DM people all the time. True. Yeah. True.
Holler Surfside.
True. Yeah. I'm like always thinking of things and, you know, that fit and are also, you know, you don't want to do things that maybe like cheapen, but you also don't want to do, you know, nothing. So it's just been trying to find that balance. And she literally sat there and she was like, Pura Vida is perfect. Like, I have stuff with them. Like, oh, let me DM them right now. She literally just DM'd them and was like, go check out Ashley Ann, message her. Y'all need to work together.
What is it?
Pura Vida. They're like little bracelets. It was like a huge thing. Like, especially in my town. I don't know about other towns, like beach towns. They're like little kind of rope like bracelets, and they're all different
like a
colors.
Shell kind of thing.
They all necklace. Like they all are for different, you know, they have different themes behind the different colors or whatever. Like sometimes they'll do like a Save the Turtles one, or sometimes okay. they'll do. So yeah.
Is that what you're wearing now?
No, I'm not wearing it. I need to go pick up my package. It's at my old apartment. But stuff like that where it's just like, oh, this person really believes in me and she's reposting all my stuff and she's like, I see her really trying to help me. And I think that it's really hard to come by people who like will put aside their own pride and egos and like where they're at in their career. And I think that I have found that in her, and I'm so lucky that it's her, because I've gotten to know her heart, and she is just like an absolute bundle of light and joy, and she's so smart and she's so emotionally intellectual, and I think we bond a lot, you know, in that sense. And I think it's been like a connection from day one, but I definitely think where we're at now is like it takes some years, I think, to really trust other people in this industry, and I can like confidently say that she's somebody I trust very much. So those shows have been incredible. Yeah, and the Max shows were so much fun. I love Max. Like, same. I think so highly of him, and I met him 2 years ago. We played CMA Fest together. We played the Spotify House rooftop together, and we were both like, it was right before that A Lot More Free had taken off, like maybe a month or two before. And I remember, like, it was just solo acoustic up on the rooftop, and he came up to me after, and he was like, dude, your voice is insane. He was like, can we please, like, get together? Like, can we get it right? So I, like, gave him my phone number, and then it was just, like, bam, out the gates. Like, he's blowing up, and I was, like, so happy for him. He's so talented. But it wasn't, you know, we didn't really reconnect until 2 years later, and we have, you know, kept in touch on social media. But I hadn't seen him. Obviously, he's been on the road and just, like, crushing it. And true. My agent texted me and was like, we got the Max McNown dates. And apparently, he, like, handpicks his openers, which I think is really admirable. Because I know a lot of people, you know, don't know that sometimes that's not how it works. But I was just so honored, you know, because I don't think he cared at all about where I was in my career or what I was doing. He just like believed in the music and believed in me as a person. So it was such an honor to go on the road with him and, you know, share his fans with me, and so much fun. Those venues were just so sick. A lot of them were outdoors, which I love. I love playing outdoors, probably my favorite. And his crew is incredible. Like, I have nothing but amazing things to say about all those guys. They all just, like, totally took me in, like, little sister, and just were so kind. And we'd all got to hang a bunch, and they gave me a free bottle of tequila because they just had them stashed on the bus from the rider, I guess. And they're just so nice, and I've kind of kept in touch with a lot of them. So it's been really fun, and him bringing me up for that duet was really special. I always love, you know, getting a chance to use in-ears for free.
And you got to sing with him every night?
Just the last night. He was on vocal rest for the most part. We had to cancel the first show or move it. It's in October now, Oxford, Mississippi. But he was coming off vocal rest. Mm-hmm. So for a while, it was just like laying low and taking it really easy. And then that last night, he was like, I just want to say, like, most headliners I've opened for, you know, have just like completely welcomed me. And he's like, I'm sorry if I haven't been that. He's like, I want to sing this song with you. Let's do it tonight. And yeah, so we did it. It was so much fun. We did it for like the VIP show and then his show. And they, you know, his content guys got all the content and they sent it over like immediately. And I obviously like ran it by him, you know, am I good to post this? But yeah, I mean, it's definitely been cool to reconnect with him. He's super funny. Like we have just his, some of his fan stories are so crazy and we just laugh and joke about it. But yeah, I mean, he's just awesome. I have nothing but great things. I feel like really, really fortunate to have only had amazing experiences on the road. Like I really have not had a headliner that, you know, doesn't come in my green room and say hi at the least. If anything, it's like, I'm becoming friends with all these people and everybody's like been so kind. And I don't know if that's, you know,
we've picked some really good people to tour with.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, it's just been, I feel really, really fortunate in that department. I'm really, really fortunate.
I love that. Well.
Oh. Yeah. Zach Top. I just held a Zach Top on. I just got note that I'm playing my first arena in May, at the end of May. I'm opening for Zach Top in my hometown.
Let's go.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
So I'm really, really excited about that. And yeah.
In the hometown.
Off-screen management moment.
Off-screen management.
Hey.
Yes, thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've processed it yet. It's like the arena that's in the town over. It's in Norfolk, Virginia.
I was going to say Norfolk, yeah.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah, so, I mean, I grew up going to see like Barney Live there. Or like High School Musical on Ice. Like,
yeah. Of course,
so
we all did.
Yeah, so it's going to be surreal. And we're kind of, you know, unpacking all of that and figuring all of the logistics out right now. But that'll be insane and so exciting. So I'm definitely, I know I'm not like super contrary, but I'm gonna try to, you know, do my part for Zach Top because I love his music. So that'll
come
be
out
so much
in
fun.
I know,
just put
hat.
On a cowgirl hat and boots, like actually wear shoes for once, maybe.
You should get cowboy boots, but the bottoms are cut off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just the tops.
That's kind of, or make like a flip flop boot.
Yeah.
Like create something. It could be like a Jesse Murph thing where like create a shoe.
Yeah.
There you go. Cool.
I love it.
There's this thing that happens, and I've noticed it like with the other artists I played for, where it's like, you know, with Michael Ray, when I was playing in his band, I was like, when we were opening for Brantley Gilbert, we were like, well, we better rock the show up a little bit. And now, you know, it's like playing with Luke. It's like we just always did our thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, maybe you just go out there and be yourself.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We definitely had so many conversations. We went back and forth like, not, I don't know if Zach Top will ever see this, but like we definitely went back and forth. It's like, do we kind of cater to him and like try to, you know, not run tracks and have everything on stage? And or do we, you know, run tracks and still just like, because I think tracks for me is so crucial, honestly, just for my music, because there's weird things like waves crashing and birds chirping. And, I mean, stuff
Nick
that,
and I were talking about the beach noises.
Yeah,
on the,
yeah. You literally could not put that on a stage unless I like brought a bird out or right. Like a wave somehow. But yeah, I'm just like, I think I was kind of back and forth at first where I'm like, do I kind of cater to him more or do I cater to the audience more? And I think, and this, no disrespect to Zach Top, but I think that in this case, like, I do need to make sure I put on the best Ashley Ann show possible.
Yeah.
Your
hometown, too.
Yeah. So yeah. I think it'll be good. I'm hoping that he just likes this stuff. Who knows if it's his vibe, but, you
well,
know.
Well, he listens to all of our podcast episodes, so.
Yeah, of course. Everybody does. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's the best advice with that is just be you.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
Know? If someone doesn't like it, then you'll find another tour with someone else that does.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
For sure.
That's
and I want
really
it to all
thing.
Feel cohesive. I don't want like fans coming from one show to another and being like, oh, she was more this here or more this
here.
You've
got like the corpse
yeah.
paint and you're like dressed like in black metal for one show.
No, like we no. just want to make it the same. And like you said, consistency is huge. So I think it's just continuing to kind of, I look back at Lainey. It's like what she did, just like continue to do your thing.
Yeah.
And just like keep doing it. And I think that's where I'm at.
I love it. And honestly, I think that's the best advice, and that's going to do so much more for you long term.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Once consistency is what labels want to see. That's what booking agents want to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's they want to see that you are even and you're moving forward and that you're pushing.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's the key. And I'm so proud of you for this EP.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's so cool to have gotten to hear, you know, a good chunk of the songs.
Yeah.
Like, you play them out at our events.
Yeah.
And then get to see them in the world now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excited.
Well, thanks for coming on and getting to catch up.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah,
it's good
we
to
appreciate
see
it.
Y'all.
I like how I'm, like, using my podcast voice on you, but, like, I know you. You know what I mean? It's like whenever I interview people that I know actually in real life, I'm like, tell me about the blue, blue, blue. And then later we're like, I'm like, ah, whatever.
You know? I was kind of curious what that was going to be like, but this was good. Podcast
yeah.
professional.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother Steve is like, I never liked listening to you on the radio because you didn't sound like you. You sound like you on the radio. I like the podcast because it sounds like you.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Well, thanks for coming and hanging.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll see you very, very soon.
Yes.
And make sure you guys go out and stream the EP in its entirety and check out Ashley, whether it's on the road or even in her hometown. Open it up for Zach Top and Man. That's so sick.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we'll see you in the front row.